Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us. Welcome back, everyone, to the Lovely Travels podcast. I am here today with my ever-lovely co-host, Darius.
Salamat pagi, Emma.
Salamat. Oh, what do I use? Salamat datang. What does that mean?
Salamat hello. Something.
Salamat yeah. Datang and terima kasih. And then you say sama-sama. It's my favorite. Okay. That means thank you. And you sama-sama is like you're welcome. Anyway, we've launched right in. What are we talking about today for the
we're
people who don't
about
speak
the,
that language?
The Southeast Asian country, Indonesia.
Indonesia, which is made up of many, 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 many bazillions of islands.
17,500.
That's ridiculous.
Of which 7,000 are uninhabited.
That's cray cray.
It's pretty wild.
But to have 10,000 inhabited is pretty hectic. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's heaps. It's the fourth most populous country in the world. That's with 200 and something, 280 million, 270 million.
Which I feel like the majority would be in Jakarta. That is
Jakarta,
a very populated
yes.
city.
You're checking my fact preparation. Jakarta is the world's second most populous urban area after Tokyo, and it has a population of about 36 million.
I believe it because I've been in traffic there and it is absolutely true. They were like, the traffic's really bad. And I was like, the traffic's really bad in lots of places. Like, oh no, this is god awful. Like
yeah.
you need snacks for the car if you're going to go be in the traffic. And
yeah,
there's plenty
we'll
times of the day you just don't go out.
We'll get to my short Indonesian experience because I haven't spent much time there.
Okay.
In fact, less than 24 hours. But
well, you can interview
yeah.
me.
Yeah. So, Emma.
Yes, Darius.
Indonesia, eh?
Yeah, it was actually my first developing country. So, I went to my first overseas country was Japan when I was a small child, then UK yeah. and Scotland. I went to Bali. I went to Hong Kong, but that's quite... developed part of China.
Sure.
And then I went to, we went to Indonesia when I was 11 and it was 1999 or mm-hmm. 8 or 9, but it was soon, it was about a year after the bombings. We went to Bali.
Right.
I mean, there's been a few, unfortunately, unrest in Bali and a few other places. So, but particularly because Australians go there quite often, that's why we know about it.
Sure.
There was a little bit of apprehension, but my parents had been for a conference and were like, this is pretty nice, maybe the kids will like it. And then they gave us the choice, do you want to go to Cairns and see the Great Barrier Reef in your own country, one of the great wonders of the world, or do you want to go to Bali, a different country? And we were like, Bali. So and it was honestly, I've written about it before, it was honestly one of our best family holidays. We went for 10 days and I just think the way my parents planned it, like top tip for people, I'm going to totally take this leaf out of their book. We stayed at the Bali High Holiday Inn Resort.
Right.
Which was lovely, like a lovely four and a half star or something. So had like a couple of different pools, couple of restaurant areas, like it had your villa options or your hotel room options or your like villa with pool, like suiting different budgets.
It had the kids club. It had activities on site. It had a beach attached to the hotel. So what mum and dad did was they were like, okay, kids, this is our holiday too. don't like harass us all the time to like hang out. What we're going to do is we're going to have a day out and we'll go and do sightseeing and we'll go out as a family and we'll, you know, experience the culture. And then we're going to have the next day will be a rest day at the hotel. And we're like, do whatever you want. Just don't leave the hotel grounds.
Yeah.
And so it worked really well though, because it just, you know, we'd have a day out and do activities and things like that and have a really great day. And then we'd come back at the hotel. It didn't mean that we didn't talk to our parents for the whole day. It just meant they didn't need to entertain us. And they were like, you know, but we did play together. We played beach soccer. We did like, I got dressed up in traditional clothing. We did like a flower arranging course. We did Indonesian lessons. Like,
wow.
Yeah, they were really amazing at having lots of activities. And the Balinesians are just the most beautiful people. They are Balinesian, but Indonesian people were so lovely. And, you know, we had these gorgeous drivers as well. Everybody just felt like family, and it was such a really beautiful holiday. And yeah, I just thought that worked. It was a really, really great tip.
That's a good one. So what was the name of that place?
It was the Bali High Holiday Inn. And it was right near Denpasar Airport. We still enjoy watching the planes landing and departing. So
right.
Like near Kuta. So Kuta, Legian, Seminyak, they're sort of like the popular tourist areas.
These are the drunken Australian tourist destinations, right?
Absolutely. Legian is where all the bars are and things like that. Kuta is beach. Seminyak is where like a lot of the villas are. So people are tending more now to go and stay in places like Ubud, which is a bit more further inland, not too far, but it's where all the rice paddies and things are, where the monkey forest is, and it's very lush and green and tropical and kind of a bit more laid back. But Ubud itself has also become quite popular. If anybody's seen the film Eat, Pray, Love, she's staying in Ubud in that film.
My friends and next door neighbors, shout out to the Law family, went to Bali, I think last year or the year before, and their son Janosz was bitten by a monkey, which is not as fun as it sounds, because they have really dirty teeth and infectious diseases.
Proper rabies. So top tip, get a tetanus shot and a rabies shot before you go to Indonesia.
Also, try not to get bitten by monkeys.
Well, yeah, my brother and I were both bitten as well, so it's kind of like a rite of Bali passage. But I went to the monkey forest again. So I went back to Bali again in 2010 by myself. And I did go to the monkey forest. And I have a photo diary that I'll have to dig out for you, because it was a monkey biting me on the shorts. I did like, eat my shorts, which is Bart Simpson's famous catchphrase. And I thought I was very witty.
Just in case nobody didn't know that. Come on, Emily, you don't have to explain every single joke.
Not every listener is a Simpsons fanatic, Darius.
But you don't have to be. Eat my shorts. There was probably like a billion pieces of merchandise printed with eat my shorts on it.
Anyway, the monkey tried to eat my shorts. So it bit me, but fortunately didn't break the skin. They will steal your shit as well. they will take anything they can get their hands on. So you really need to like leave your stuff in the car, or like if it, you know, hold on to things really tightly. They're particularly partial to very expensive things.
What is your favorite Indonesian food?
Oof, that's hard.
And which flavor of mee goreng is it?
No, I love gado-gado. Gado-gado is a potato dish with a peanut satay type sauce. Ooh. And it is delicious.
You had me at satay.
I also love a good avocado juice over there. So they make it's kind of like a smoothie, but it's basically just avocado blended and very cold. And then they put chocolate syrup around the glass as well. It's kind of like an avocado milkshake smoothie.
Yeah. Yeah. I can get
very
into that.
Very refreshing. Drink it quickly. But I'm really terrible when I'm in places like when I'm in Indonesia, like it's so hot and humid.
Yeah.
That I just kind of crave salt and sweetness. And so, and the food is beautiful, but when you're eating it, it's quite sweet. And so I just found in the days sometimes having something, a sweet meal was a bit too much. And so a couple of times I was very terrible and I would have a club sandwich and a fries and a Coke because I just needed that cold, sugary sweetness. And, oh, I love me an ISO sweat. Oh, that's a yummy
ISO sweat. Yep,
Indonesian drink. And 100 plus. Both very good for Pocari Sweat as well. They're all very good. They've got salt and sugar in them.
Yeah.
So good for hydration.
Pocari Sweat, isn't that Japanese?
No, it's sold there too, but they're very very good for hydration. They might even have some electrolytes in them. And you just need to constantly hydrate. You're just sweating with the humidity and, So, but a lot of fresh fruits, a lot of like really tropical fruits. So for breakfast and things you're having. Though, warning, my sister and I really got in on the watermelon. Mm-hmm. Where does watermelon grow?
On the ground.
What is in watermelon?
Watermelon seeds.
Yep, there's another key word there.
Water.
What are you not supposed to drink in developing countries?
Watermelon juice.
Water. So my sister and I ate a lot of watermelon. She also got quite the sunburn, so I think she was having a bit of heat stroke. And
Shout out to sunburn, Andy.
Yeah, awesome parenting, mum and dad. No, she refused to get out of the pool, so it was her problem. But yeah, we got a little bit of funny tummy, barley belly, because of all the watermelon.
And you think not because of like maybe washing the watermelon afterwards? I would have thought that the plant filters the crap stuff out through the roots and stuff because it doesn't just go straight into the watermelon.
I don't know. We couldn't put it down to anything. I think we never even had to like go to the doctor. We were quite unwell. So that was the thing they put it down to. They were like, oh, you ate heaps of that? Oh, maybe a bit too much. So cool your jets on the watermelon, guys.
Okay, but enjoy everything else, I think it's, I love Indonesian food. There's so much good stuff, all the like the curries, the Java curries and beef rendang and like grilled fish and I don't know, it's delicious. It's
very well spiced, yes. And they also, we talked about on our Vietnamese episode, but similarly in Indonesia, they have the lovely, really rich, dark drip coffee. And then you have it with condensed milk again. So that's really, I love that style of coffee.
I think I'm going to have to organize some satay something today.
Ooh, yes. Peanutty, spicy, yumminess. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas satay, everyone. Wait, this is coming out after Christmas. I hope everyone had a nice Christmas.
Yes. And yes, we hope you enjoyed your time. So I've been in, I was in Bali, in 98 or 99, got to check that. I was then, it was 2010 and I also went to Jakarta that time and,
I've been there
to visit some friends, and stay in their home, which was such, if you're ever invited, I've said it on other episodes, but if you're ever invited to stay with someone, just take the offer. It's such a wonderful way to see the country. It was really awesome. I'd heard mixed things about Jakarta and I had a really great time. Shopping capital of the world. People don't tell you this.
Well, I saw that in my fact research. Wasn't sure if I should include it because I felt a little bit like the Indonesian Board of Tourism was trying to get me to and shop.
No, like shopping there is insane. And like it was the deals were amazing. So I went to this it was the first mall attached to a 5-star hotel, maybe in Indonesia or maybe in Asia. Anyway, this 5-star hotel had a big, massive mall attached to it, and the sales were unbelievable. I was getting like 70% off at Mango, Zara, Forever 21. These are big, like English brands. I was paying like $40 for a blazer, and so like that would usually be more expensive, but like full, like just massive sales in this mall, and just Yeah, I went a little bit nuts. I think I bought something like 10 items for $500.
10 items for $500.
From good brands, I mean. So I was buying been really
shopping in so long. I've sort of migrated over to eBay and stuff like that for all my clothes.
Okay, for people who shop at Zara, Mango and Forever 21, they will be listening going, that's very good. Or maybe even got more. Like, I bought a lot.
Other brands are available. Shop around. Also question the where it's made, where it comes from.
True.
This is an important decision in today's world.
True. These were major, these were proper, like, distributors of these, like, they were proper shops and everything. These weren't the street sure. stores.
Sure.
But yes, you know, some of those brands don't have the best worker conditions, so.
Yes.
Advocate on their behalf.
Would you like to hear about my Jakarta in under 24 hours trip?
Yes. When were you there?
It's a good question. Probably like 2006-ish, 7-ish. No, later. I don't know. Mid to late 2000s. When I was working for the metal recycling company.
Yes.
And so we had a client in Indonesia. We had many clients all over the world, but this one was in Indonesia, and he had bought a whole ship's load, a bulk shipment worth of steel, scrap steel. And the ship was arriving, but the shipping documents, like the bill of lading and all that stuff, hadn't been sent because probably payment was delayed, whatever. And so I was tasked with being the courier for these shipping documents worth like $20 million at the time. So like, I don't know, like 20,000 tons of steel or some crazy number like that. And so they gave me these shipping documents, which at that time, holding them, made me the owner of said giant pile of steel.
Oh my God.
And because they were like, these documents are super valuable.
Yes.
And it was up to me to deliver them to Indonesia. So off I went, got a plane, arrived, you know, probably like 9 o'clock in the evening, like hour and a half taxi ride to the hotel, met the buyer, gave him the documents, had dinner, walked around the block, went to bed, and then had to get up at like 4 to get the first flight out.
Wow.
Did yeah,
you get to eat yummy Indonesian food, though?
Not really. There was a little bit at the hotel. I mean, it's not a short flight. I think it's like an 8-hour flight or something from Sydney. So it was, yeah, it was, I was just pooped and I was super stressed because I had like $20 million worth of paper on my person.
yeah, that's not a super enjoyable way to experience a country.
No, but I did get a taste of the traffic and the airport. There was cats running around Jakarta Airport.
I believe
and,
it.
Yeah, pretty interesting trip.
So what was your dinner? Do you remember?
It was, no, unremarkable. some buffet in the hotel. I was super stressed, Emma, like just a young Darius at the time and handling all these thousands of dollars, millions of dollars worth of paper. Yeah, but I'd love to go back. And Mum has some friends there. She goes to Bali regularly and has an extended family almost there. And shout out to Minnie and the rest of them. So soon I'll be back. Awesome. Well, I'll
go back and take some time. Highly recommend. So shout out if you do go back there.
There is a lot of places. I'd love to see the Komodo dragons. I'd love to see the orangutans. I'd love to see this good scuba diving. I want to go scuba dive there. And so many places. It's such a diverse and beautiful country.
Well, I'm doing a little bit of research before because I had to look into something. I realised that I've been to Indonesia a third time because I was in Borneo in 2013, which is actually Indonesian and Malaysian.
Yeah.
And
the Sultanate of Brunei also has a foothold on Borneo.
Mm. Which is annoying for me in terms of my country counts, because it's one of those other ones that doesn't really...
You could have been like Malaysia, Brunei and Indonesia.
Yeah, I tend to like... I sort of want to go like for the mainland. It's like when we were doing our Europe road trip and we could have got Russia in there, but I was like, it would have been like kind of a outpost of Russia as opposed to Russia main.
I think Emma's talking about visiting Kaliningrad.
That's the one. Yeah,
a Russian enclave.
Yes, you can describe it a lot better. Shut up! I kind of know geography. yes. So I don't even know if I've got Borneo on my. I'm trying to think about my list. Anywho. I just wonder if I should say it. I have one of my favourite travel stories ever from Borneo. Yeah. But I don't know if I should Borneo. I feel like Borneo should get its own episode. It's pretty special.
It is special. I'm
going to save it. Yeah. I'm going to save it.
Save
it.
I'm
going to tell you. I've told you this story before, but it is one of my actual favourite stories ever. And I told it recently on the Thoughtful Travel podcast. I don't know if she's put that episode out there yet. No, she hasn't. So I have to save that too. But it was quite the debacle in Borneo. Memorable. But yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I love Malaysia and I love Indonesia. And to be on an island where there was a fusion of food and culture of those two places was absolutely wonderful. It's a tropical island. It's absolutely stunning. What you were saying before, snorkeling and jungles, and the orangutans are there, and there's a memorial to Australia, Sandakan, which we didn't even know existed till we went there, which is a really important, wonderful place to go.
Yeah.
It was quite distressing, actually. It was, they had a prisoner of war camp there during World War II, and of 2,500 prisoners of war, Australian prisoners of war, 6 survived.
Jeez.
And yeah, Dad and I went in, went all around the grounds, went into to this little hut and learned about these men's story, walked out, and Dad and I just like hugged each other and sobbed. It was like full on. I'm so glad we visited.
It's in Borneo.
It's on, Sandakan. So on the, I want to say the west side of the island. Nope. Northeast, southwest. I want to say it's on the east side. I'm terrible with east and west. It's on one side of the island. It's definitely on an east or west side. Could be kind of northerly. I don't know.
I was standing on land and in the water. Ergo,
An orangutan that day, and it was a very overwhelming day, a lot. And then, you know, then the debacle happened, so that was super fun too. But, I highly rate Indonesia. So like we were saying before, with Bali – I really want to get back to, and I want to go to Lombok, which is an island, small little island off Bali. That's become quite popular now. It just looks stunning. If possible, if you don't want to be around heaps of tourists, probably avoid Kuta, Legian, Semiak and Ubud. And there's still a lot more to see on Bali itself. There's heaps more islands of Indonesia if you also want to avoid it altogether. But don't just think Bali is all Australians getting drunk. I stayed in Kuta on my last trip.
Yeah.
And I had an Indonesian friend, and he used to come and pick me up and take me to places. And it didn't bother me being in that area.
Well, because you left.
Well, no, I liked walking down the street too to the beach. Yeah. There's like little like beach cafes and stuff like that. It's just... you know, make your own experience. I did have a bad day there, and that was when I had kind of gone, because I'd done all the tourist stuff before, I'd sort of said I wasn't going to do it. And I was there by myself. I made a friend of a friend, Indonesian friend. So he was lovely and came and like basically saw me every day. So I had company.
Yeah.
But I just had this day where I was like, oh, well, I'm here. I probably should do the tourist thing. So don't do this if you don't want to. And so I went to the monkey forest, that was fine. And then my driver took me, and so it's quite common in Bali to hire a driver. Please, please don't do what a lot of people do and hire a scooter, because there are so many accidents of tourists thinking they can drive scooters. So, you know, support locals, hire a driver, give them a job. So sure. I had a driver for the day, very reasonable. And then they took me to this place, and it was like a zoo. And it was like $40 entry. And I was like, I don't want to go to a friggin' zoo. And I was like, no, I just don't want to do that. I want to do that. And so then my next stop on the tour was Tanalot. And Tanalot is absolutely must do. It's a little small rock island thing with this amazing little temple on top. And you go there for sunset. That's what it's famous for.
I would have thought it was the sunbathing destination.
No. But yeah. And we had done this sunset amazingness, and I had this really fond memory of being there when I was a kid with my family and seeing this incredible sunset, drinking a coconut, seeing this man with snakes and sea snakes. It was all amazing. But we got there at like, because we didn't go to the zoo, we got there super early. And so the sunset wasn't going to be for like 3 hours. And it's like, I don't know, I walked around, I went to the little market, went down, the water was... I think it was low tide, whatever. It's like, okay, so it's like it's still quite a nice temple on a rock, but it's kind of just a rock. And it had got a lot more touristy as well from what I'd remembered. So a lot of markets, a lot of people around. And I was like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I don't want to wait for the sunset. And I went home, and then I just felt super lonely and I had a cry. So listen to your instincts is my tip. And if you want to just go to a place and enjoy and relax and, like, don't feel like you have to see stuff. Like, one of the, you know, there's beautiful beaches. There's incredible Indonesian food. I sometimes like just being around the culture. I was going and getting beautiful massages and, like, manicures and, like, beauty treatments are amazing over there. I was just having, like, a beauty treatment and really relaxing every day. And then I tried to do this touristy thing and it kind of spoiled my mood. So sometimes... you can just have a holiday.
Yeah, I agree. Don't feel the need to fill every minute of every day with activities.
Do all the things. And the same, we went out for drinks one night and it was okay. And like we went for drinks, but I was like, I'm not really in the mood on this trip to party. I'd rather have a nice meal with my friend in a local restaurant, have a beer and relax, and then go back and get an early night's sleep and go in the pool in the morning.
Look, we're not getting any younger.
I was young then, though. That was 2010. That was 10 years ago. What's wrong with me? No, I had come off the bat. I think it was like uni break. I was tired and, you know, sometimes it's just nice to have a break and just to chill in a beautiful place.
I hear that. I'm sorry I don't have any more experiences to talk about Indonesia. I think when we talk to my mum, she'll have a little bit to say about that. She's been there quite a bit.
Well, yes, I'll let you know some of the... I'm very terrible with Jakarta. Actually, I went to this really interesting place, actually. It was like this mini world's place, and my friend and his dad had to work that day. So, and the reason of the friend I went to visit was my dad's colleague and his son. And his son and I had met in Singapore the year before, and they were like, come visit sometime. And me being me was like, sure. So I did. Mm. So I stayed in their beautiful home, and they had to work one day. So they sent me off with one of their employees, which is lovely. People just host you. It's a very Asian culture to do that. And so they took me to this mini micro worlds thing. I'm going to have to look up the name. And
like
a
miniature, like with miniatures, like train set miniatures?
No, like kind of like human-sized entranceway things. But it's like you drive around this massive park.
Right.
And then there's like, this is the Java section, and this is the Bali section, and this is another island section, and this is the Borneo section. And it's like... So, yes, the place was called the Taman Mini Indonesian Indah Park, and it's a cultural-based recreational area located in East Jakarta. And, yeah, it was pretty funky. It just basically had these, like, different displaying, because, as we said before, Indonesia is so, has so many different islands, and I guess it has so many different microcultures. Yeah. It was sort of like a tour of Indonesia in this park, and it was like Disneyland. Like, it's a small world, but just Indonesia.
Just right.
So you're just all different, like, styles of buildings, and you'd learn a bit about the clothing and the food and the culture of those different places in Indonesia. And that was, yeah, it was pretty good summary. If so maybe you should have gone there in your few hours, Darius. Then you would have really seen Indonesia.
There was no time, and I was so worried about missing the wake-up alarm time, and, like, missing my flight in the morning. I don't know. It was a bit stressful. If I had to do it today, by the way, I am open for courier opportunities.
Courier.
If anyone needs...
Courier.
Yes, courier. Courier. Yes, courier. If anyone wants to hire me to fly some shipping documents around the world, I'll put my contact details in the show notes. That's Darius@internationalcouriers.net.
That's not a real Emma. Address.
Did you know that the flag of Indonesia is identical to Monaco's flag?
I did not. I know what it looks like. It's a red and white.
Yeah. And I read that it's the only difference is in the width, which people don't go around measuring flags, but...
Don't they?
Sure.
Flag
shout
enthusiasts.
Out to all our vexologists in the crowd.
Like Sheldon Cooper of Big Bang Theory.
That's the one.
You go. Another pop culture reference.
Another one. You can come for the travel tips, stay for the pop culture references.
But a few tips on Bali, just to be awares. In the marketplaces, sometimes it can get a bit pushy and a bit so haggling and bargaining is welcomed, but you might find that some of the people might get a bit annoyed if you push them too far. So just try not to get into battles over things. Maybe don't inquire if you're not really wanting to buy. Probably don't go picking up things and putting them down. It's kind of irritating for people. Hair braiding is kind of a must, Darius. I'm sure you look fab with some braids. It's rite of passage there. As I said, drivers are great. Visit the volcano, though. Volcano went off recently in Indonesia. I saw it smoking, so that was pretty impressive. A little bit of smoke.
You saw it while you were smoking?
It was smoking. I was not. Oh. We went up to a lookout. I feel like we felt like it was close, but I think it was also quite far away. We also went out to a little island, which was lovely. We did jet skiing there, which was fab. A little bit of OH&S is not super, like, important there. So maybe, like, do some of those activities at your understanding there might be a risk. Not super up on safety things.
It's like, I'll have to, when we do our Ukraine episode, I'll have to tell you about the dodgy ride I went on in Odessa.
Spooky.
Spooky.
Just keeping an eye on those things. But honestly, I feel like Bali's got quite a bad rap these days, especially from an Australian point of view. And I've never been going.
But it sounds like the Mallorca of Australia. So what Mallorca is to German and English tourists, Bali is to Australian tourists.
Yeah, but it's kind of like Ibiza, where it's like a tiny pocket of it is.
Oh,
so
expensive.
No, it's not expensive. It's very cheap, which is why people go. But it's it's a tiny corner of the island has been densely kind of saturated by tourists. So, like I said, Kuta, Legian, Samiak, Ubud, you're probably going to find heaps of tourists. Go to the north of the island. I think surfers really like the north. It's an island, so there's heaps of beaches.
Around the outside.
Yeah. It's where beaches tend to lie. You know, if you can, like always, try to interact with the locals in a really, I don't know, immersive way, like get to know them, talk to them. And, you know, I was very fortunate to have a friend introduce me to someone, so I got to see a real local side. And then that, you know, I've made my second trip really, really enjoyable. Mm. And the same with Jakarta. I had a really nice time in Jakarta. And Jakarta's, although it's very city-esque, there was a place we went and we like sat by this kind of beachy place and had an avocado juice, and it was really nice and relaxing.
Yeah, all the Indonesians that I know are all wonderful people, and despite not having been there, I feel like it's a wonderful place, and I'd love to go back.
Oh, one more tip. My last trip we did in one of the malls, because that's where you hang out in Jakarta, right. And they have it in Bali too, the fish spa. Have you had a fish spa?
Yeah, where they nibble your feet.
Yeah, so you put your feet in the water, and these tiny little fish come up and they eat the dead skin off your feet. And I don't think I've ever laughed so hysterically in my life. I think they wanted me to stop. But very tickly.
Yeah, I did it in Greece on Rhodos, I think, one of the islands.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's a weird sensation. Maybe, again, we'd like maybe check the sanitation thing. Of it.
Yeah. And if you have weird feet, think of the fish.
I think that's where we've got to leave it.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
Visit Indonesia, one of the many, many, many 17,500 or islands, probably maybe only the 10,000 that are populated. By all means, go. Get into the culture. Eat the delicious food. Get your feet. Fished.
Get your feet fished.
Get your feet. That's going to be the subtitle of this episode. Indonesia, get your feet fished. And of course, as always, please stay in touch. We'd love to hear about your Indonesian experiences and tell us all the things that we got wrong or need to fact check. I think I need to do a bit more of that. We have fun facts, but we don't fact check very well.
What do you mean?
Well,
people are here for the fun facts. They're not here for fact checking.
We're not here for memories.
The factual travel podcast, are we?
And my memories are patchy at best. There's just too many of them. Too many wonderful memories. Anyway, email us, info@lovelytravels.com. Where can they find us on the socials, Darius?
Well, you could check out our Instagram, which is @lovelytravels. You could check us out on Facebook, lovelytravels.com/facebook.com. That's not the website. And also the Lovely Travels community, which is a wonderful conglomeration of travel enthusiasts and other wonderful people.
We have almost 600 members, and they are 600 members.
And I'm sorry, dear members, that I am so sporadic in my visitations. I'm just not into the Facebooks these days.
But you're going to get. He's going to get involved because we're about to introduce, or around this time, we'll be introducing a couple of moderators. So not see as much of me, guys, for a little bit. I might be off having a child. you might not see me on the socials as much, but we'll keep the episodes coming. And, I will keep you updated on my new adventure too.
I will continue the rule of the lovely Facebook community with an iron fist. We will organize and rise up. It is time. The workers' revolt. The travelers' revolt.
No, it's super friendly and lovely, and we ask silly questions and post lovely photos.
It's very lovely. And it's like compared to the rest of my Facebook, there's like actual niceness and not ads and like, yuck, Facebook is gross.
But please come there and join us. or you can visit our website, lovelytravels.com. So thanks, guys. Love to hear from you and see you next time.
Salamat. Bye-bye. I don't know how to... Salamat something. See you later, guys.